You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello there, everybody out there in wonderful podcast land. Thank you for tuning in to us. This is The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I have a very, very special guest today, one Mr. Remington Kies. Remington, go ahead and say hello.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? What's up?
And Remington, I've been wanting to get you on this podcast. I know it's kind of been a work in progress. We've been meaning to a few years ago, and I missed connection with you, and we were unable to do that. But we have you here now. I'm very excited. You're a fellow podcaster. Your podcast, the Nerd Talk Podcast, you produce that. How often does that come out for you guys?
We're trying to do it at least once a month, but okay. It really depends on how often we can get guests, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes guests cancel, and then we have to, like, kind of make it up on the fly, but we're trying to get it, like, once a month, get a good schedule going.
Good, good. That's understandable. I have that happen a lot. People will be unavailable and stuff. That's why I started doing, like, the guest series type of things, because oftentimes there's four of us in our podcast group, and we're unable to get together all the time and do these. So it makes it nice that people like yourself make yourself available to us, that we can do these types of podcasts. Now, I understand that you're writing or have written a book. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have a book written. It's planning to publish it probably by June. Try to get like a summer release. It's a superhero adventure love story, and it's got a huge twist. The character is very relatable. It's almost like a Spider-Man kind of story. You can see, it's one of those things you can put like a teenage superhero into it, and it's going to be relatable to like everybody, you know, trying to get that relatability universal.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I like that idea. And Spider-Man, relating it to Spider-Man is never a bad idea. He's a pretty popular character. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, he's also the like one of those superheroes that a lot of teenage superheroes use as a starting point. You know, when you try to create a teenage superhero, you either think of Robin or Spider-Man as your starting point, you know, because they're the most relatable, you know.
Yeah, that's true. They're the most popular, most relatable, definitely. You know, and in the movies, even now recently, Spider-Man has been more of a sidekick to Iron Man, and Robin always is a sidekick to Batman, so it kind of makes sense that you would fall back on those two characters.
Definitely. Yeah. I agree.
So we're talking today about casting X-Men films. And we're talking about just like basically the general cast of the X-Men, who we would want to be in these films and why. When we talk X-Men, we're talking, you know, more along the lines people think of either the 90s cartoon or they think of the X-Men cinematic universe from Fox, 20th Century. Fox. And 20th Century Fox, for the most part, did a pretty good job. I mean, there was, what, 7, 8, 9 X-Men films and then a few spin-offs. We had, what, 3 Wolverine films, 2 Deadpool films.
2 Deadpools, 4 of the reboots, and then 3 of the original, I believe.
Yeah, so like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, about a dozen films, roughly. Within that X-Men universe that Fox put out. And that says something. They were doing something right. If it was terrible right out of the gate, nobody would have wanted to invest in that. You know, nobody would have wanted to continue. And luckily, they did a decent enough job. I remember my first experience in that film, watching the first X-Men. I had never seen a movie theater so abuzz with, like, just teenage guys and girls. It was a nice mixed crowd of people that were just really excited. A lot of older people in there that had known the X-Men since, you know, their days in the 60s and 70s and, you know, reading them then. So it was really cool to be in this crowd of everybody before the movie started that was just talking X-Men and how excited they were. And that's a moment that I'll never forget.
Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I was really excited about it because it was my first exposure to the X-Men as a kid was those movies.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. I got to see it in theaters with my uncle and father, who their first experience with the X-Men was the original comics. My dad has the first 12 issues of the original X-Men comic from when he was a kid. And it was just cool to see, to be there, like, with generations of people who, you know, some, my brother started with X-Men, the animated series. I started with this X-Men movie. I remember it blowing my mind seeing Nightcrawler doing that opening scene with the president. That blew my mind as a kid. I never seen movies like.
Yeah, that is the best opening. We were just talking about this on one of our live pods. That's probably the best opening for a comic book movie ever, still to this day.
Oh, yeah. It blew my mind as a kid. I think that's what hooked me on those on the X-Men. That's what got me. That and Wolverine, you know? But those original movies really cemented it for that generation to, like, get hooked on comic book movies. So they're definitely a staple, and without them, we wouldn't even have the MCU to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, if it wasn't for the foresight of the studio to, you know, casting was pretty good. I mean, we almost had Duggery Scott as Wolverine instead of Hugh Jackman, and the only reason we did not is because Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise was no, Duggery, you're going to finish filming Mission Impossible 2. We have to have you here for that. We have to get this film done. And Duggery, you know, was of course, you know, he's just not quite starting out, but, you know, this is like one of his first big films. And then he got cast in X-Men and he was super excited about that, but then he was unable to do it. So then they kicked it over to Hugh Jackman. And I think Duggery would have done a fine job, but the way Hugh Jackman interpreted the character was just perfect.
It's just like, it's an iconic role. It goes up with, you know, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man, you know, Chris Evans as Captain America. Just, they fit the role so perfect. It's like ripping him right off the page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Certain actors and stuff. Like, if we got another Wolverine, it's going to be hard. Like, they know that. They know with casting. They're like, oh, my God. You know, I'd hate to be the person that's in charge of casting the next Wolverine. Like, are you going to get? Who are you going to get that's better than Hugh Jackman?
To me, if I was casting, I would try to get an unknown, you know? I would try to get somebody who doesn't, who's got acting experience but hasn't really broken into the mainstream yet. That way it's like kind of their, like, I don't know, like, first big thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That they're not compared to too much. You really can't compare it to too much. You know, you really want the actor to embrace the role. You don't want it the other way around where it's just another character that they play, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard a lot of fan casting wanting Tom Hardy. And unfortunately, I don't think it would work for a number of reasons. The big one, of course, is that he's playing Venom currently. And Venom is a character that I know Marvel wants in their universe. So, you know, Tom Hardy, playing Venom, it's not out of the realm for him to possibly make an appearance in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And in that case, then, that would be completely off the table. There's no chance he would play Logan Wolverine.
And I think that was the hardest part about making this casting list, is every character that any actor I kind of thought that would be really good for these roles, I'm like, they're already in the MCU in one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah, because the MCU is massive, you know? It's just all-encompassing, basically. I mean, who would have thought that Benedict Cumberbatch would play Doctor Strange? Because I certainly didn't think that. I thought, wow, he could play a cool Doctor Strange. And suddenly I blinked and turned, and there he is as Doctor Strange. It's just crazy.
He does a damn good job, too.
Yeah. And Chris Evans has played multiple comic book characters. He was in The Losers, I believe. He played, which is a DC Comics property. He was, of course, famously the Human Torch in Fantastic Four for Fox. And then Captain America, of course. And I think he played even one more character. So I think he was like three or four at least characters.
He was on Casey books, Jones and Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So let's go ahead with what you think as far as like casting is concerned. Now we've already mentioned Wolverine, so let's kind of start there. Who would you recommend that we look at for Wolverine?
Now you're gonna laugh at this because it's a reality show casting, okay? But to my credit, when I'm thinking of this character, he's done modeling for books. He's done a few acting gigs when it comes to commercials and stuff. So he's breaking into the acting world, but he started off on a MTV reality show. I'm going with this guy, Gus Smirnos. Excuse me if I'm getting the name wrong. He's got that that rough country look to him where he could be that rough Canadian Wolverine badass. You know what I mean? He's got the muscles. He's got the roughness. He's got that physique where if you see this guy at a bar, you don't really want to mess with this guy. And he's got the thing where he's kind of like 5'8". So he's like comic book Wolverine where he's short, but you don't want to mess with this guy. This guy is going to be a bruiser, you know? And I think, you know, with his experience in modeling and acting, with the little acting I've seen him in, I think he'd be a good job to portray that badass Wolverine, but still kind of have the heart there too, to do those heartwarming scenes that you want him for the X-Men too, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at pictures of him right now and just pulling it up, and yeah, he's got that gruff kind of look to him, but also like a sensitivity in his eyes. And that's an interesting part of him that you can definitely see throughout all of his photos. Yeah, and he's got the build, so he's a big dude, so he definitely could pull that off. So that's a good one, yeah. I could get behind that based upon just the looks. You know, as far as the acting ability, I don't know because I just found out who this person is.
Yeah, he's very new. He's just breaking in. He's just getting into he's been modeling, like, books and stuff and just getting into acting and kind of, like, trying to break away from this like MTV reality show stuff. He's been doing some commercials and stuff, but I think he's like got the look, you know what I mean? And I think he could portray both the aggressive, rough, I'm a badass, but also the sensitivity where you can see he cares for things too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at, originally I was looking at Taron Egerton, from Rocket Man. I thought maybe, you know, he could pull it off because this guy's amazing as far as his versatility. So for me, if anybody could pull it off, it would be him, as far as making you believe that he could play Logan Wolverine. Plus, he's a little shorter. He's got that stocky build. He's got muscle to him. He can definitely bulk up more if need be. So he would be a fascinating one for me.
He was also a Kingsman too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He was also in Kingsman, that series based off the Secret Service series that Mark Millar wrote back, what, 10 years ago? 10, 12 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah, he was a badass in that movie. I mean, those are like serious action movies. And if you could keep up in those, I'm sure you could keep up in the MCU.
Right, exactly. What about... Now, personally, I don't feel that they should recast Charles Xavier. I think we have a perfect Charles Xavier already. But if we had to recast, did you have a name in mind?
I have David Oyelowo. He played Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma.
Huh. Okay.
And I only chose him as Charles Xavier because I was going to choose somebody else. Uh-huh. But I only chose him because of who I was picking for Magneto. And I feel like he would work off great as a foil for who I got for Magneto. But he also can portray that. He portrayed Martin Luther King. And that's kind of who Professor X is kind of based off of in the comics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like an Oscar-worthy performance that he portrayed in Selma as Martin Luther King Jr. So I feel like, you know, that would be kind of perfect for Professor X.
Interestingly enough, I was looking at the possibility of it being Aldous Hodge, who has been in Black Mirror and was just recently in the Invisible Man film. So for me, I remember him from, he was in a TNT series. It was a group of people that would like, it was kind of like their version of the A-Team, if I recall. And I can't remember the name of it offhand. But he was in that, and he was great in it. And then he was in an episode or two of Supernatural. And I followed him through his career, you know, from the very beginning, like early starting out. And I always found he had a lot of talent. So,
yeah, know, he looks good, too. You know, I feel like either one would be really good. It seems like he has a huge array of, like, talented roles, you know?
Uh-huh. So if we're thinking Charles Xavier, now we have to think of Eric Lenscher, which would be Magneto. Who would you have for that?
Oh, and the moment you had me cast this, there was only one man in mind at the moment that was young enough but still could, like, portray that, like, dueling sides of whether you're good or bad as, like, an anti-hero. And mm-hmm. I feel like Giancarlo Esposito from, he was just in Mandalorian. I feel like he would be awesome.
Wow, that's funny you chose him. I chose Bryan Cranston.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were both Breaking Bad on this one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think both of those, you're right. Juan Carlos, he's got a fantastic resume now that he's been building, and he's a phenomenal actor. He's got that gravitas that you would need to really bring home this character of Magneto. Probably a lot of people now that are much younger, it doesn't resonate. So having somebody that comes from a different ethnic background that could have some type of plight of prejudice, you know, some other history around that character,
yeah,
rather than
something
it just
that's
being
similar to the Holocaust. What's similar to the Holocaust? You know, you could do like not like the Jim Crow laws where there was a lot of oppression there. You know, you need some big human event that makes him lose trust in humanity. You know,
right?
Like, he could have gone through anything other than that. My grandmother came from a time where, you know, there was black people but didn't even have running water. You know, they weren't even allowed to have running water growing up. So I figure,
wow.
You know, that, you know, there's plenty of things this guy could have gone through, you know, and he's just old enough. And the thing I like about his acting is you can see him playing both sides of the coin, you know. You can see him as a good guy, you can see him as a bad guy, but you can also see his head turning, you know, on whether what side of the dice, what side of the coin am I going to be playing today? Am I going to be on Charles Xavier's side, or am I going to be playing the villain today, you know? And that's kind of, you need, it's something that reminded me of the old X-Men movies and how the actors there played it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it would be an interestingly different dynamic. For example, if Aldous Hodge, like the way I was casting for Professor Xavier, and you were choosing, you know, Juan Carlos, both of them, you know, all just having gone through situations like that, maybe, you know, possibly in the past based on the character, and the same thing with Juan Carlos based on the character. It could create a different dynamic, but make it very interesting to the audience and a very compelling story, too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's interesting that you went with Bryan Cranston, too, because he was like one of my picks for an alternate, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's great. I think that the way we saw him change in Breaking Bad was the way that probably Magneto got systematically kind of broken down in life.
Yeah.
And that resonated with me, and I thought, wow, I don't think that there would be, to me personally, a better choice for the character. But yours is just as good. You know, I wasn't even thinking that. So that's a great choice.
Thank you.
Let's go next. Maybe do you have anybody for Beast, Dr. McCoy?
I don't know if you're familiar with Big Bang Theory.
I am.
I picked Johnny Galecki. I was trying to the guy who plays Leonard on Big Bang Theory. Yeah. And I picked him because I was trying to think of someone who could do action but also play that kind of nerdy role too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he could do both. And you can still see him as a scientist, but you can still see him as like, oh, I'm going through this change and I don't know how to deal with it. You know, he's got acting chops where he could do both, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a great choice. I was going to skew a slightly older. I was looking up online here, and, you know, you get to some fan casting sites and stuff, and sometimes they just hit it spot on, and it just hits you, and you're like, wow, yes. And I think Jeffrey Wright, Kelsey Grammer resonated with me really well as Beast, Henry McCoy, in X-Men 3. I think that was the only redeeming factor of X-Men 3. Was the casting of Kelsey Grammer as Beast. I thought it was perfect.
Oh, he just was based perfect.
Based on his voice and his mannerisms, the way he's talked. I think Jeffrey Wright has a lot of that similarities, a lot of those same aspects to him and his characters that he plays. So I think Jeffrey Wright would be a great choice to play Dr. McCoy.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at his stuff right now. He's going to be in the Batman. He's going to be in the new James Bond movie, you know. She was just in Shaft. He's got like a huge like list of like action roles and stuff. I think that'd be perfect, you know. And he could definitely like give off that scientist-y look and still be a badass too, you know.
Yeah, he played that scientist-y thing to a T when he was in Westworld playing in that for HBO. So yeah, to me it was a no-brainer and it was great casting. Let's look, since we're doing, we did McCoy, let's look at maybe Storm. Who would you cast as Storm?
Now, for the rest of the X-Men, I don't know where Marvel's going for it. Uh-huh. I tried to cast Young for most of these X-Men roles.
Okay.
I figure they might want to go into like a Peter Parker kind of role, or I don't know if you've seen that. Animated series X-Men Evolution, where they introduced the characters as high schoolers and tried to keep it low-key that they were X-Men and like slowly was trying to build the world around them before they revealed, hey, there's mutants in this world, you know? I don't know if you're familiar with X-Men Evolution, but it's kind of like what they were doing.
Yeah.
So I picked a Disney Channel actress, Navia Robinson. I feel like she's just coming in, you know, she's young, she's got like, I was trying to figure out actresses that weren't, there are a lot of the black actresses that were a little bit older that could have played it were already in the MCU or already up for Storm previously.
You know, like, this could work if they did the Shadow King story, because she was very young when they did that Shadow King story with her being manipulated and him kind of controlling her mind. You know, this girl could work perfect for that. Yeah. I figure
you can introduce her from Wakanda. You can kind of like do something in there where it kind of helps with the next generation. Cause I know they're trying to do a young Avengers movie. So they're probably going to try to, I don't know, do Black Panther Jr. or something. You know, like from Young Avengers. So I figure this is kind of work into that too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I still am very upset that Angela Bassett declined being Storm in the Marvel Universe and we ended up with Halle Berry. I don't dislike Halle Berry. I just felt she wasn't the right actor for the role. And I thought Angela Bassett was always just so perfect for it. And her voice was the exact voice I heard in my head when I would read Storm in comic books.
Well, the other thing, too, I don't know if you remember from the X-Men Apocalypse, Zendaya was up for Storm, too, and she was second place and just got beat out by that other actress who played Storm.
Wow.
Up in Apocalypse.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
And so I was going to pick Zendaya right away and go, oh, wait, she's already in Spider-Man, so they're not going to do that, you know?
Right, yeah, that's not going to work.
I feel like someone younger, you know, she's going to be big in the next few years. She's got on that show Being Mary Jane. She's been on BET. She's got dancing, modeling, acting, you know. She's got all the things that they kind of like want in the MCU, you know.
So I'm gonna since that was a good solid choice, I'm gonna adhere to your advice on when we're dealing with Mystique on Raven Darkholm. Who do you have since you were skewing younger on some of these? I feel like we've had plenty of Mystique in the last several X-Men films, more so than we ever should have, because Mystique has never been that huge of a character in the X-Men canon. But she's also has some popularity, and now especially because of the films. So they'll probably want to cast somebody that has a strong acting resume, but might not be the most well-known. Who do you have on your list for that?
Oh, I went with another Big Bang Theory actress, Courtney Hengler. And she played the Sheldon Cooper's twin sister on Big Bang Theory. And she also plays the wife to Ralph Macchio on Cobra Kai.
Oh, wow.
She's a martial artist. She's got a bunch of range and talent. And she's big where she's been in a bunch of stuff, but she's never had a main role. And I feel like this could be kind of, she's like a B-movie actress, you know what I mean? So this is kind of be like her step up to like being in the limelight, because she's got a bunch of acting talent, and she's a martial artist, and she's, you know, got a bunch of ranges. She's just never like kind of been promoted to the limelight. She's been on NCIS. She's been on, you know, Henry Danger, Cobra Kai, Big Bang Theory. She's been in a bunch of stuff people have seen, just not, she's never been like, I don't know, like A-list role, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of perfect, where she's not in the limelight yet, but she could play it. She could be up right there, and she, I can see her sassy. She's got like this sassiness to her, and I can see her being right up there, sassing right next to Magneto. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She could be Magneto's right hand man. Bam, you know?
Yeah, I can agree with that definitely. Another one that I saw a fan cast on that I thought was really great was and I'm gonna butcher this name. It's Cameron Bicondova, and she's a U.S. born actor that previously has been in Gotham. She played Catwoman, I believe, Selina, in the Gotham series. Ooh. And I always liked her acting and who she, you know, how she portrayed it. And I thought that she might make a fantastic Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, she's got quite the list of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, as far as, let's see, let's go to, by chance, let's look at, well, we looked at Wolverine and Professor Xavier and stuff. Let's go to Cyclops. How about Cyclops?
Who do you have? Cyclops, I picked Robbie Amell, whose brother was the guy who played Arrow.
Oh, okay.
So I picked his brother, Robbie Amell, because he's already got the action stuff. You know, he's already got, we've seen him play, like, a leader already. He played Freddy in Scooby-Doo in the live-action Scooby-Doo movies.
Uh-huh.
And so he's already got that leading chops to him. He's just led a show on not Hulu, but what's the, oh, Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
He did an amazing job.
I agree. 100%. Upload was the name of that.
Upload, yeah. He was great on Upload. I think
Robbie, I hate to say it about Steven, but I think Robbie got the better ability. He has more talent, I think, than Steven does. Steven's a good-looking dude, but I don't feel that he ever elevated Oliver Queen for me above anything. Like, I still prefer the comic books over his version of Oliver Queen any day of the week. And I need somebody that's going to elevate the character for me, you know, that's going to either make me go, this guy's just as good, or this is the guy I imagine now. You know, I need that when I'm doing casting and stuff. So with Robbie, that's a really good choice, dude. Like a really good choice.
And I figure with him, he's somebody you can see going against Wolverine. We need somebody who's going to be able to speak up against our Wolverine. The problem with the last Cyclops is you never felt like he was the leader. You always thought Wolverine was the leader in those movies. We need somebody who's going to be able to feel like he's the leader, feel like he's the top dog, and be able to go against Wolverine in some cases too. I feel like that would be perfect. He can play that, you know?
He's the Leonardo, basically, you know?
Yeah.
With the Ninja Turtles, Leonardo was always the one. Scott Summers is the same thing. He's a straight man, so he takes a lot of flack. But when it comes down to it, he can lead a team, and he can do it well.
Yeah.
Okay, so real quickly, I'm going to give you a name, and you tell me who you think that person should play that character, okay? So let's go with Jean Grey. Who do you have?
Jean Grey. I picked Christy Carlson Romano from Even Stevens.
Okay. Rogue?
Rogue. Oh, I got Elizabeth Gillies.
Elizabeth Gillies. She's
from Victoria. She's on some show right now on CW.
Okay. She's Broadway. Played. Yeah, she's Broadway. She's got that pedigree. She was on Broadway. She was played the character Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I see. Yeah, that's a good choice, dude.
She's already done the whole goth kind of thing before, so I feel like, you know, she'd be perfect right in that category.
What about Gambit? Do you have anybody for Gambit?
I picked a martial artist for Gambit, and I did Leo Howard. He's a third-degree black belt in karate, and so I figured he could do all the action scenes and stuff, and he's got a range of acting where he could do, like, voices and stuff. So I figured he could do, like, you could have him do that, like, Louisiana accent, you know, and he could... The thing, when people were saying Channing Tatum, you know, I feel like Gambit needs to be kind of like a slimmer body, so that's why I picked a martial artist who's going to have, like, a slimmer physique, whereas who's the guy they had Gambit? They were going to talk as Gambit. The guy from 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, Mr. Magic Mike.
Magic Mike there. He was always too Hulk-looking, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it does. It does.
I don't want to say he was big, but he's just Hulk-looking, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about, let's see. Okay, so for Colossus, I cast Tom Hopper. Now, Tom Hopper is just a big dude. He's in that Netflix show. Jeez, why am I forgetting it now? Oh, man. It's a superhero series. It's been on for 2 seasons.
On what channel?
Umbrella Academy. That's it. It's Umbrella Academy. Okay, yeah, on Netflix. So he played the character that had the monkey body with his head basically on it. And he's also been, and he was in all 5 seasons of Merlin, which was a BBC series, which was excellent. If no one's seen that, it is an excellent series. I can't recommend it enough. As far as the rest of your list, why don't you just go down your list real quick, the person, the name, and then just something that they starred in so we kind of get the gist.
Okay, so for my Colossus, I picked the dude from Deadpool. Like, I think his name is Stefan Kapik. He's already done a great job at Deadpool, and since Deadpool's going to be in the MCU now, you just transfer him right over. Nightcrawler, I picked Solo Mandarina. He plays the Mexican kid from Cobra Kai, the main character.
Oh,
and
nice.
I feel like he's got a bunch of range to him, and he could he does. I like martial arts when it comes, as you can see. I'm picking martial artists for some of these roles because I feel like, you know, they could transfer over with the gymnastics and stuff that you would need to do some of these moves and stuff. And they've already shown they can do drama and comedy on the shows that they're in, you know, so this would give them just like an extra range. And a lot of these people are B-movie actors. They need They need they're popular, but they're not huge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what you need, because you need to be able to keep this on a budget because it's a huge cast.
Exactly. And I figure, you know, Kevin Feige knows how to take these people who are known but not hugely known and make them into superstars, you know? So I picked for Spike, we got Kenyon Lonsdale. He played Kid Flash on CW's The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I figured he'd be a good role for Spike. Sunfire, I got Yoshi Sadarso. He was on Power Rangers. He was on Supergirl. He was on a Western that was on Netflix. So he's got a bunch of range. Kitty Pryde, I picked Chloe Grace Moretz. She was Hit Girl on Kick-Ass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice choice.
And for Angel, I picked Tom Welling
from
Smallville.
Yeah.
And for Iceman, I picked Asher Angel. He was just Billy Batson on Shazam. But I feel like Iceman, you need a guy who's young enough to like be able to be like Peter Parker's age and like still be able to like talk, someone who's confident enough to talk crap to Peter Parker. You know, and Iceman's a confident character. So I want him to kind of still be confident, but still be to kind of like in with himself. And I feel like Asher Angel does that with Billy Batson. So, and then for villains, I picked for Jacob Bertrand as Toad. He's another one from Cobra Kai. He plays Hawk. He's kind of like an anti-hero on there. I feel like he'd do good as Toad. Mm-hmm. I picked Josh McDermott from Walking Dead as Blob. You know, I feel like I was trying to find like more actors who were like who could play bad guys, and there wasn't like a lot. So these were just kind of guys I thought would do good in these roles. I picked for Pyro DC Young Fly because I feel like Pyro is such a cocky asshole. You know, in DC Young Fly, he's kind of like a young Chris Tucker. He's got the comedy. He can do action. He's like a young Chris Tucker, and I feel like Chris Tucker would be good as one of these villains. You know, like that's how I would cast it. And for Avalanche, I picked Jensen Ackles from Supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Jensen. I think he's great. He has a lot of versatility. I would like to see him, honestly, in the Bat universe at some point.
Yeah, it was really hard. I was like, I wanted to put some of the Supernatural people on here. I was like trying to find. I was like, he'd be good. I was looking at Avalanche. I was like, he'd be really good for Avalanche. You know?
Yeah, yeah. He has the look for sure, and that definitely. Kind of a icy demeanor, so to speak. So yeah, he definitely could do that.
For Sabretooth, I picked Jason Momoa because he's big. You know, he's a badass. When you look at him, you're like, I don't want to fucking mess with that guy.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
And then for
Jason Momoa has yet to be cast in the Marvel Universe, if I recall. So there's...
Well, that's another main reason. I was looking for people who haven't been cast in it, and I was like, well, he plays Aquaman, but it doesn't mean he can't play Sabretooth.
All right.
And then Juggernaut, I just picked Ryan Reynolds because he did a really good job as Juggernaut last time, so...
Oh, as Deadpool?
No, Ryan Reynolds played Juggernaut in Deadpool 2.
Did he?
Yeah.
Boy, I did not know that.
That's what I was like, he did a really good job in Deadpool 2.
He did.
So let's just make him again, so.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, that's great. The one that I know that we were talking about earlier was Jubilee. And Jubilee's an interesting one because she hasn't had enough time to shine. And I feel like because of that, it would be unfair to the actor, Lana Condor, who actually has been playing Jubilee, played Jubilee in Apocalypse, too. She's played in several films. She hasn't had any time to really shine. So I feel like it'd be nice to give her... a more of a chance, kind of flesh out that character a little more. What I loved about the 90s series was how they put Jubilee right to the forefront of the animated series of the X-Men in the 90s. The whole premise, the whole story revolved around her headed to the mall at the beginning. And like these Sentinels coming after her and then the X-Men stepping in and stuff. And I feel like if we just got something more like that, we could have, you know, Lana's day in the spotlight, so to speak, and really put Jubilee a little bit more in the forefront and kind of get her more of a team affiliation with X-Men rather than just a student at the academy.
Yeah, I agree. I was trying to find, and another, there's not a lot of Asian actresses. You know, I was looking up and I was like, I was shocked at how little there are, you know. So I would almost have a Jubilee in there just because there isn't that much representation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like really sad how there's like almost no representation for Asian actresses here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that doesn't mean that they can't cast people as, you know, different ethnicities and stuff for sure. Like, you know, casting somebody of Asian descent in a different role, you know? And
yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of great things happen. I still think to this day, Michael Clark Duncan playing the Kingpin in the Fox Daredevil series was great casting.
Iconic.
Now, yeah.
And then even to this day, if I were to cast a Kingpin, the actor I want is black. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The actor I want for Kingpin is black, and he's on Black Lightning right now. And people always look at me like, really? I'm like, yeah, have you seen him on Black Lightning? He is clearly Kingpin.
I think I know who you're talking about, too.
Yeah.
He's the albino dude, am I right?
Yeah, right.
I can't remember the name of the character he plays in there. But, yeah, but that Black Lightning's great. It's a great TV series.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's doing a lot of what Luke Cage was doing in the first six episodes is what Black Lightning's been doing through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I feel that's the misstep that Marvel made with that on the Netflix series, is they didn't continue on with I think it was Cottonmouth as the primary villain.
Yeah.
And that kind of killed it. But yeah, so this was great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Remington. I really appreciate you being on.
Anytime.
We'll have to do another one sometime where we do another casting, maybe of some other series or a movie that has yet to land in the Marvel universe quite yet.
Definitely, I'll be interested. Definitely.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how close we got to some of these. And who knows? Maybe somebody's listening to this pod and they'll be like, you know, that's a good idea. And then they'll cast that person.
Well, I definitely think some of these Disney Channel actresses and actors are going to make the transition because it's already in the same house. And they've been doing a lot of, Marvel has been doing a lot of in-house casting. They've casted like a lot of Disney Channel former actresses on their TV shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I figure, you know, some of these people might even make the transition over to movies. You got Eri Zendaya, she was from Disney Channel. You got the girl from that CW show that they were doing. I just have up. I can't remember, but there was some Disney Channel actress on some CW Marvel show that they were doing, and just a bunch of transitions and stuff that I've seen lately. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So you never know. I mean, we could be spot on with this. We might not be, but we could be. We definitely could be. There's some good casting here. So anybody listening that does casting for Marvel, you know, you're welcome. But with that, thank you again, and thanks for being on. I really appreciate it. Always appreciate having a special guest on. And this is Remington Kies here. And you've got your podcast, you've got your book coming out, and some exciting times for you. So thanks for being on. Really appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it.
And for those that are listening, you can find The Real Short Box on YouTube under the Rumble Spoon Productions page. You can also find us on Spotify. You can find us on TuneIn, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts. You can find us on iHeartRadio and a multitude of other podcast platforms. If you don't find us on something, reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Let us know at The Real Short Box, and we'd be happy to get on those platforms for you. But with that, if Remington and I don't see you anytime soon, hopefully someday we will see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.